Welcome to Live Talks, a podcast by Live, a tech and logistics company headquartered in Abu Dhabi. On Live Talks, we tackle fintech, logistics, business, and best practices in the workplace. I'm Karim Bakhash, the VP of Strategy at Live Global, and I will be your host. Welcome to a new episode of Live Talks. Today, we will be talking about starting a business in the UAE, especially for SME and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Lorenzo Joris, the CEO of Creative Zones. Lorenzo, if you want to introduce yourself before we start.
Great, definitely. And once again, thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to have this conversation with you and your audience. And I am the CEO of Creative Zone. We are one of the largest corporate service providers in the country. We are over 200 employees, and we basically help companies and individuals set up their businesses and enter the UAE market in the form of company formation services, PRO services, and other solutions that help individuals open a company, become residents of the country, open bank accounts. So we tend to help people that are interested in coming to the country and doing business here.
Great. I mean, this is very important. As you know, as us at Live, we help companies provide them technology to operate, which usually comes after they form a company.
Right.
A lot of those companies are small businesses, could be in the F&B or the e-commerce, and they all have started somewhere in the UAE before they come to us and ask for technology. When you think about starting a business, it has gone a very long way since, you know, years ago. There it was very paper-based. People used to go to different or governmental agencies, could be the Department of Economic Development, submit some paperwork, go through the process, come back. Now there's all everything's online through technology.
Correct.
Which makes it simpler, but not doesn't mean it's less complicated.
Yeah.
And I know countries all around the world take this very seriously because, you know, starting a business is one of the indicators for any new companies or existing companies to choose where they want to operate.
Absolutely.
And so here in the UAE, it has been taken very seriously, and there's quite a lot of places where this can happen. So maybe let's start maybe at the basics. And I think this is important for the audience who are thinking of starting a company here. What do they should start think about as they start, and what are the different steps they should go through when they want to start a business?
Excellent. Well, as you rightly said, the UAE has gone a long way when it comes to the implementation of initiatives and policies to really streamline the process on how people can set up a company. I think the one thing that the UAE does extremely well is really listen out there to what people need and adapt very quickly. They've introduced, you know, very attractive formats for residency visas, and they created an umbrella of different visas, residency visas, that you could be a resident through setting up a company, through employment, of course. Then they launched the golden visa, the green visa, the retiree visa, the employment visa when you work for someone else, but you could be a resident in the country if you're employed by a company outside. So the government has always been one step ahead of wanting to implement a lot of these policies to really make it easy. And one of them, as you said, is also the journey on how people start a company. As you rightly said, when we started 14 years ago, everything was very manual, very paper-based. You would get your trade license on a certificate type of thing. And now things have completely changed. Every licensing jurisdiction from around the world, whether it's a free zone or the mainland in any of the Emirates, has really pushed into delivering their services and their trade licenses and their government solutions through portals, through ERP systems, in all cases, every free zone. In fact, we as a company have created our own ERP economic zones solution that we provide to economic zones as a format by which users can input their data and do the whole process of setting up a company digitally. It can take you as little as 45 minutes nowadays to start a company. Given now, especially that the necessary compliance journey needs to be observed, there's world checks that need to be done. But even those, the licensing jurisdictions are trying to see how can they implement this the faster as possible. So these ERP systems are connected to APIs through to the World Checks and Reuters and portals that are able to create a risk assessment of who is the investor and who is the UBO, the ultimate beneficiary owner, and for this licensed jurisdiction to be able to cross-check the data and issue the license on this individual.
I actually went through a process, and I don't think it was Creative Zone, but one of the process here when I was a very short period, a contractor, and I remember setting up my license in, I think, you're right, like maybe an hour, which I found amazing because I was sitting on my sofa, just punching some paper, uploading some documents, and there's your license. You pay it and you got it.
Yeah.
But it, you know, like you said, it's also the shift of, we're now moving from, I'll give you the license and then we'll see the compliance and what else you need to check later on as you operate. And I think we'll get into that as you speak.
Yeah.
So let's assume that I am a new entrepreneur or an SME or, you know, and I want to start a business in the UAE. Mm-hmm. What should I think about first? Like, what should I do?
That's a really good question. It's the starting point of a lot of the new startups and entrepreneurs is, where should I register the company? There's about 52 free zones in the country. There are 7 emirates that have their own mainland economic development departments. So the key thing that one needs to understand is, it, what is my market? Who am I catering to as a client? Am I doing a business that is going to cater to clients within the country, or am I setting up a business that is mainly aimed at dealing with clients internationally? Am I looking to do business, let's say, with government entities within the country, or is it going to be just with general public within the country? What kind of activity? Different free zones are more specialized or give more support to certain type of activities or business industries. So, you know, you have media free zones, you have AI and technology free zones, oriented businesses. You have free zones that are more aimed at trading, like, you know, the MCC, the Dubai Multi Commodities Exchange, and, you know, the DIFC, Dubai International Financial Center. These are aimed more for financial services industry. Right. So one needs to understand which jurisdiction caters best for the type of business activity I want to conduct, because the one key thing that people want to be is linked with individuals within that space. It would make no sense for you to set up a financial company in JAFSA, well, let alone they don't have that activity, but you are not surrounded by the ecosystem that eventually you will need to be part of, because you will gain access to possible partners, suppliers that are within that ecosystem that you want to be linked with.
So, I mean, you mentioned something that, you know, people probably don't know, that the number of free zones in this country is quite high.
Yeah.
But also what I've seen is that also between Emirates, there's similarities between free zones.
True.
So now, does it make a difference if I set up in, let's say, Abu Dhabi or Dubai or Sharjah or Ras Al Khaimah in the same activity? Or it's, like you said, it's only about the ecosystem that comes with it?
Yeah. I think the first decision is, am I going to be doing mostly business, let's say, in Abu Dhabi or Dubai? Then people that do business in Dubai sometimes are able to choose one of the free zones, perhaps in the Northern Emirates, that will allow you to still do business in Dubai or Abu Dhabi, but not necessarily you need to get a license from there. So there's a few free zones that became very active in tailor-making their solutions, making them very attractive for startups and entrepreneurs. We have some cases on Northern Emirate free zones, such as Rakesh, you know, Ras Al Khaimah Economic Zone, that was born out of the merge between Ras Al Khaimah Free Trade Zone Authority and Rakia, that used to be the Ras Al Khaimah Investment Authority at that time. And then you have other pioneering free zones, such as Fujairah Creative City, that was also set up a long time ago. Sharjah Media City, those are very powerful free zones nowadays, and that capture quite a big volume of the startups and entrepreneurs that are setting up, and they can conduct businesses around the UAE. They're meant to be doing business within these free zones, but they are able to do business internationally with these licenses.
And maybe this is a bit more specific on the question because it's important. So as an entrepreneur, and if I'm operating, I've set up in Dubai, now I want to serve clients in Abu Dhabi.
Mm-hmm.
Does it mean I need to go do another license in Abu Dhabi in any case? Or I'm okay, you know, it's okay if I'm from Dubai, I can go and operate in another emirate?
Well, we always recommend that if you're going to be based and doing business, let's say in one specific emirate, in the case of Abu Dhabi or Dubai, do get a license that is from that emirate, because it's going to be seen as more professional, in the sense of you approaching, especially if you want to do business with government entities.
Correct.
Especially if you want to deal with government departments, it's recommended that you get or you need to be having a mainland business. There are formats by which private sector entities engage with free zone companies. Ideally, free zone entities should be doing business within the free zone in which they are registered, right?
Correct.
But a lot of businesses, what's happening nowadays is that a big portion of the companies that are being set up in the country are for people that are what we call nomad entrepreneurs. There are people that are operating around the world, and that they're using the UAE as their base for operating their businesses. So you have people setting up a company in a free zone in the Northern Emirates, and perhaps they are a consultancy company that are traveling around the world in Africa or other Middle Eastern countries, and they're able to use this license to operate from here in the UAE.
So I'm just going to take the example of Live. So Live operates globally, but also locally. So mm-hmm. we actually have a license that is mainland mm-hmm. in Abu Dhabi, and then we have one mainland in Dubai,
right.
and we have one in free zone in the DIFC.
Right.
So we have three licenses because uh-huh. we have different operating activities,
right.
which meant that we needed to have different type of licenses with the right activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is important for entrepreneurs to understand.
Yeah.
It all goes back to what you said in the beginning. The activity that you will be operating is important.
Absolutely.
And who are you going to be serving is the second point.
Yeah.
Based on these two, you're going to be able to decide which free zone or mainland is best for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So now, in terms of kind of maybe not to talk about, but the process itself,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything that they should know about? I know there's some paperwork always to be kind of submitting, but financially,
yeah.
legally, anything in terms of planning that they need to understand? Or
look, this is a good reason of why companies like us exist. You know, I really recommend when starting this journey, the UAE has become a lot more compliant when it comes to observing international law and regulation. There's been really good news given in the last week or 10 days that the UAE has come out of the grey list that was presented by FATF.
Correct.
That is an international organism that sort of scores the rating of countries around the world in where they stand with their policies in regards to anti-money laundering and compliance regulation and so on. So over the last 2 years, the UAE has done tremendous effort and set initiatives to really get out of this gray list. And now we've done it. In the last 10 days, it's been announced. In fact, our company, Creative Zone, we were the only corporate service provider that was presented in meetings with FATF and the Ministry of Economy, where we had to showcase our processes and procedures when it comes to onboarding clients and how do we do the risk ratings and the world checks and how do we, in some cases, reject certain business activities or nationalities when they were meaning to set up businesses here. So when starting a new company, you're going to be asked to fill in a set of documents. And again, it's all in line with being compliant with international regulation. But it's become a little bit heavier than it used to be 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, right? In the past, you fill in a couple of documents, my name, my passport copy, and you get a trade license. Now there is a lot of more sort of due diligence in the background. So you need to fill in UBO declarations, you know, ultimate beneficiary owner, AML regulation. If your company has a certain type of activity and falls under what is called ESR regulation, there's a lot more information that is requested. You might need to submit banking statements showing, you know, your financial statements over the last 6 months or so. Of course, proof of residency and all this. But then once your company is set up, it doesn't stop there. That's why I'm saying it's good to have a partner like Creative Zone or a corporate service provider, because you are constantly in need of keeping up to date with what documents are being requested by the licensing jurisdiction. The banks nowadays also are requesting explanation of certain transactions.
Of course, yeah.
There's a lot of things related to residency visas. How do you go about employing people? What kind of documents you need to sign in terms of employment contracts? What is within the law when it comes to employment regulation, and how can you hire and fire and this kind of thing? So these are all the support and advice that we give entrepreneurs. So there's a lot that goes behind running a business. I'm sure you're aware of when you got started.
Of course.
And, you know?
Of course. You mentioned two things that I think I just want to which is important probably for entrepreneurs, is one is the activity, mm-hmm. right? You mentioned that certain activities might have additional checks that
Correct.
Might be different from others.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on this point? Because I think it's important for people that start business to understand, like, if I want to operate a technology company, probably there's only these steps that need to be made. It's more simple. But if I want to start operating a food business,
yeah.
there is more checks that needs to be made because
Absolutely.
There's other authorities that needs to make sure that you're operating in a healthy environment.
Right, right.
So maybe just briefly, if you can elaborate how different it is, could be.
Yeah. And that's a really good question. And there's a couple of ways of dissecting this. The biggest way of dividing the activities is the way that most licensed jurisdictions do it, is between regulated and non-regulated activities. So for example, when it comes to the IFC, in the IFC, you can set up a business that is either a regulated activity or an unregulated. And this means that it's regulated either by the central bank or the financial services authority. So anything related to, you know, financial services, of course, trying to set up a bank or a brokerage business, this all falls under what is called regulated activities. These type of entities are, of course, a lot more difficult, more cumbersome to set up. There is a lot of more due diligence, more requirements that are needed from the company. You might need to be showcasing who your registered MLRO is, who is your compliant officer of the business. You need to, and this officer reports directly to the government authority related to this. Licensing jurisdiction. You need to have a very well-established CFO and financial managers that are going to be providing the needed audited books and reports of the business. So those are the financial regulated entities. And then you have non-regulated that will fall anything such as, you know, consultancy and marketing and technology businesses. But within the non-regulated, there are some that are called maybe higher risk type of activities and others that we know or perceive of within the industry as not being as high risk. So a big problem that a lot of companies have at the beginning is that they end up setting up something that they don't know is considered a high risk activity by certain governing institutions, especially banks. But when you go out there, again, the need of having a good advisor on this to tell you, listen, watch out, instead of listing yourself under doing this activity, perhaps you could try to do that. So, for example, to give some ideas, when you set up a general trading company, this is considered a high-risk activity. Why? Because it's general trading. You could sell anything. You could Correct. Sell shoes or trade oil or commodities. So the bank, when he sees a licenses, when they see a license with general trading, they go, wait a minute, and they start asking you, and you need to go more in detail explaining what kind of trading you're going to do. You have to prove. So that's why it's better to list an activity that best relates to what you're trying to do as a business. So all the licensing jurisdictions have, there's about 1,200 or 300, is the ISEC list.
Correct.
List is called.
Correct,
you could choose trading of shoes and shoes related products. So it's better that you choose something like this, because then everybody will see your license, and then your website, the description of what you do and the business that you do really relates to this. Not that tomorrow you have, you know, a big amount of money coming from some client and suddenly you're trading something else that is not related. So this is when the banks and everybody around you, even the licensing jurisdiction, they're doing their due diligence and checks. They do spot checks. And you know, they call you and you need to prove on what kind of business you're doing and how you're going about doing the business that is showcased in your license.
That's what I was mentioning at the beginning, is sometimes for some activities, the barriers of entry might look very low. Said, yeah, we'll give you the license. But then you might fall into these audits or checks that come to you and ask for justifications on the type of activity you're doing.
Yeah.
And to your point, right, as an entrepreneur and any company like us, when we start the business, you know, 1,200 activity, I mean, you search for the activity, you put technology and it just gives you like... let's say 50 type of technology, and you don't know which one is actually high risk or not.
Right.
It doesn't tell you
exactly
when you're applying, especially in some sort of registration, because you're not. So how would you know? Is probably like coming to Creative Zone.
Yes,
they will tell you, wait, don't choose this one, choose this one, and then make sure that you're in the right activity, because then you don't have a high risk activity.
Yeah, and another big mistake that a lot of people do, and for some reason, for example, the free zones and even companies like us, we try to advertise and says, well, with this license, you pay this amount and you can get yourself five activities and list. But then that's a big mistake, because then you end up putting yourself five activities and people put marketing, consultancy and trading. And then again, you go to the bank and the bank looks at this and says, wait a minute, like, what are you? What are you going to be doing? And then the audits. So we tend to recommend, listen, make it simple, especially at the beginning.
Right.
Build a relationship, build a business, put one or two key activities, start with that, let the bank understand who you are, what you do, and then slowly start complicating yourself. Don't go at the beginning of things full on, because it's going to get a little bit crazy.
Okay, let's assume we've set up the business finally and now we're operating. Anything you need to give us tips for when you're operating a business? Because people tend to say, okay, I set up a business, I'm good to go now, everybody's going to leave me alone, I'm just going to do my business. But that's not how it works, right?
Yeah.
So can you give us a bit more also on what happens when you're operating a business? Mm-hmm. Like what kind of advice, tips?
Yeah. Look, we see a lot of stories. We set up over 200 companies a month, new companies. And I remember when I first joined Creative Zone over 4 years now, this is my fifth year in the business. The first thing that really struck me and I enjoyed so much, I remember going into the sales room and we would put in the wall the 200 companies that we will sign up that 1 month. And in there, you see all these names and the activities of these businesses. And the first thing that came to my mind was like, wow, look at how many dreams and how many people are getting started into business. And you read the names of the companies, and some of them are really cool names. And you try to create a story behind each of these, you know, names and companies and people. And I remember, and even until now, I'm very passionate about trying to connect with a lot of our own clients and understand what they're trying to do and how they're doing business. You know, I feel I'm very lucky to be in a space where I get to talk to all these people and understand how they're going about things. But on the other side, I see and I get to see a lot of mistakes that people do. So to your question is, and especially when it comes to doing business, I think in this country or anywhere around the world, but I've seen it in the UAE. I mean, I had my own media agency for 15 years. I think the number one problem that I see a lot of people have, especially when they come here, is that, and I think it's a problem around the world, people tend to get started, open a business, and they are expecting results to come immediately. And this is, as you were saying in your question, it is not how it happens in the real world. For any business, it takes a while. It takes you time. It takes you a while to start getting that traction and to start getting, you know, those invoices being paid and the cash flow of things to start looking a little bit more healthy. So my first recommendation is go into business knowing that it's going to take you a while. Make sure that you have a bit of a cushion that will take you to whatever you feel. And always double that. If you think that it's going to take you 6 months to start breaking even or a year, well, 6 months is going to end up being a year. If you think it's 1 year, it's going to end up being two and so on. So give yourself some space. In a market like the UAE, I see a lot of people that do it very well. You have to build partnerships. You have to build on relationships. Go out and meet people and constantly sit with people that can add value to your product. you're going to have to do a lot of barter deals at the beginning, you know, go deliver services for people that are going to give you something in return, but maybe not money, but something, some value in return, whether it's exposure or something. And when you see people that are doing it that the right way is when you see them that they become very successful. And when they become successful, they become very successful. I was reflecting over this over the last few days, and I went back and I looked at stories of young entrepreneurs that started. And look, we were a startup 14 years ago, and now we're a company at the group level that we hire over 500 employees, right? You have stories of people that we even have invested into, for example, companies like insurancemarket.ae, right? Yeah, yeah. Incredible stories, and they are doing extremely well. I did a podcast recently with a gentleman called Andreas. He's the founder of Kcal.
Kcal,
very successful, but they started from nowhere. And I think he was telling me they do over 2,000 meals. Was it a day or a month? I can't remember. A day, right? So, as I was just saying, when they become successful, they become very successful and they really make it happen and they become very big.
Maybe one thing that you mentioned, and I just want to go back to, is the importance of the ecosystem of the zone that you choose or the place that you choose to set up your business.
Yeah.
Because people underestimate a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, sometimes they pick the cheapest.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, okay, let's just go. Maybe it's 1,000 dirham more cheap, but I'll do a setup in this place.
Yeah.
Or for some reason, somebody told them about the place and they'll just go for it.
Yeah.
But they didn't think this through about how important it is to be in the right place to get the right support.
Yeah.
So can you talk about this? Because I think it's very, very important.
Absolutely. And even to add to what you're saying, I think you need to create your own zone. You need to create your own circle and your own environment. I mean, the free zone and your license jurisdiction is going to give you something. But what else can you go out and get? That's the really good thing about the UAE. There are hundreds of ecosystems that you can get involved. You can be part, you're a women entrepreneur, go and become a member of the Dubai Business Women Council. Or there is this other really amazing group called Female Fusion that they have thousands of women entrepreneurs. We launched a new concept recently called the Startup Circle. So we invite startups and entrepreneurs to be a member there. It's free of charge. We don't charge people. We do networking events. We meet with people. We do workshops that are free of charge. We launched 2-3 months ago a very successful concept called the Startup Academy. It was a 16-week online series of workshops, totally for free, and we had over 3,000 people subscribe to it. So there is so much that you can go and get out of the ecosystem. The free zone is one of them, but go and build your own zone, as we were saying. Of network, of opportunities, because there's so many opportunities for you to go and connect with. There's free events every day. There's no excuse for you not to be sort of exposed to people that are out there trying to hustle and to make it happen.
I think one, not general mistake, but one mistake that some entrepreneurs do is to think that, you know, staying in their own small bubble, doing their own thing without networking, without going and meeting other startups and learning more and more what's happening is the way to succeed, which is the complete opposite.
Oh my God.
Which is, I think, is the complete opposite. But you mentioned it, and I think for at Creative Zone or any other zone,
yeah,
you want these companies to be successful because your success depends on their
Absolutely.
Success because you want them to continue to operate.
Absolutely.
So giving this all away is a direct return for you.
Absolutely.
So I again, I say to entrepreneurs, like, don't hesitate to go and find the places where you can find free support, because at the end.
Yes, and there is so much out there.
Correct.
Yeah.
What other tips do you want to give to entrepreneurs? What other things you can give to these, based on your now 4 or 5 years experience at you know, Creative Zone, or since you've been for a very long time here in the UAE?
Yeah. I think the one thing that I enjoy talking about is for those young entrepreneurs that are starting to set up their business, it's how it came about. For example, when I launched my first company, I put it in a way of saying, at the beginning, play with your idea. I think for young entrepreneurs, you know, you're in your early 20s, you have the ability to be able to risk a few things. You know, if you fail at the beginning, it's actually seen as a bit of a, I wouldn't say a positive thing, but there is a lot that you will learn from it. So I call this stage the play with your idea. You know, I remember when I launched my first business, I wanted to start shooting TV documentary films around the world. And I came from a background of producing economic supplement reports inside newspapers such as the New York Times and USA Today and Le Monde. And I said, I wanted to do the same thing, but on TV. So I started playing with the idea. What did I do? I wrote a letter to CNN and the BBC and ABC and say, hey, I want to shoot TV programs for you. And ABC Television responded and said, yeah, we'll air your shows as long as you pay us this amount of money. I said, okay. So then I started investigating about production and TV cameras and stuff. And I remember I was with my partner and we were looking at cameras and everything. So I identified a few cameras and then I set up a company. And at that time I set up a business in Rakesh. Mm. But because I happened to be based here and I was traveling around the world, and I got my license and then I opened a bank account that everything I was playing while I was having my job. And then we got to a stage and said, well, let's write a letter to a president to see if he will give us an interview for my TV program on ABC television. And we wrote to the president of Tanzania.
Okay.
And the guy said, yeah, I'll give you an interview. Come. And so my partner says, okay, go to the shopping mall and buy the biggest TV camera that you can find. And I said, okay. So we went to the mall. I remember we bought this, at the time, this XL cameras, a bit of a funny shape they had. And I packed this. Here I was on the plane reading the manual on how to operate this camera. I never filmed anything in my life. And we went on, did the first interview with the president of Tanzania. And that was the beginning of our first project. And we traveled around the world for 15 years, shooting documentary films very successfully. And we truly enjoyed it. But if it wasn't for that playing with the idea at the beginning, then you don't get anywhere. And what I like about that concept is there's no pressure. I think when you start something, it should feel somehow natural.
Right.
It shouldn't feel like it's a stressful period. It should feel like, because that's when you are in that comfort zone and you are not pressured about things, I feel when you become the most creative and that the best version of you comes. When you're trying to do something and the pressure, you tend to cut corners, you go for the quick win instead of build something crazy, go beyond your boundaries. Because you're playing with it and see how far it will take you. And in many cases, the world will open up and say, hey, go and do your interviews.
Yeah, of course. Very interesting. Very interesting. One other thing that I wanted to cover as we come to maybe a conclusion on this is how technology helped kind of improve things over the years. I think we talked about, you know, how easy it is, but let's maybe dig deeper into technology and how it helped now companies set up.
Mm-hmm. I think technology keeps on revolutionizing everything that we do around us. And now the advent of AI, and if you are in any sort of business and you are not at least trying to understand how AI and technology is able to help you with your own business, I think it's going to take a year or two for you to be completely wiped out of your own business. I have a frenetic approach to this. I feel somewhat, I wake up and I scroll through, you know, Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, and you keep on seeing people adopting these things, and you become a little bit sort of paranoid about it, thinking, am I moving fast enough? Am I doing the right thing? You know, the possibilities that social media gives you and all of these new tools to adapt your business are immense. I think social media has given access to a global audience, and so many businesses have been created and shaped around social media. Nowadays, you have, I remember even I was reading to this, there's a very famous watch entrepreneur. His name is Haider Tim. He happens to be in Dubai this week. Mm. And he has a very interesting thing that he creates this thing on social media where he says, if you can find him. So he gives a clue. I don't know if you've seen his videos.
No, I haven't seen him.
You have to follow him. And people find him saying, I love your journey. And he gives a clue and he travels around the world and people find him and he gives them a watch. But he built an incredible business over the last few years. And he sells thousands of watches just purely out of, you know, his social media exposure. And this has been an opportunity that many individuals and companies have been able to take advantage of. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're not looking how these new tools, social media, AI, and new technologies can really change your business, then you're looking in the wrong way.
Great. Well, I just want to thank you again for being our guest today. I think this was very helpful for entrepreneurs. I hope the audience has liked what they heard. Until the next time, thank you for listening and see you at the next episode of Live Talks.